Layoffs are rising, and the experts have it all wrong. On today's show, you'll learn the real reason layoffs are rising and why it will lead to recession. I'm your host, Steve Van Meter, and thanks for joining me today. As it seems that just a week ago, I did a show that layoffs were coming. And this week, the unemployment claims jumped, leaving many experts caught off guard as they weren't expecting a big increase. And what is being cited as a supply issue, I believe, is really a demand issue. And when you understand it from a demand perspective, well, it means the decision policymakers are making right now are going to push us into a recession. Let's pick this story up as we head over to Bloomberg, who headlines that U.S. initial jobless claims rose to the highest since mid-November. Unemployment applications unexpectedly jumped to 230,000 as recent COVID surge forced closures leading to dismissals. And here you can see in this chart that initial jobless claims bottomed out and are now heading higher with the largest increase in November. And again, this is unexpected, and we'll cover that too. The increase in unemployment claims could suggest that businesses are laying off employees. Well, it doesn't suggest it. It says they are. As a result of the most recent surge in coronavirus infections, that is actually the debate. That said, the uptick should be short-lived as the latest COVID-19 wave ebbs and as employers continue to push to retain staff amid an ongoing labor shortage. Well, if you're trying to retain staff, you certainly don't lay them off. Quote, the spike in the number of COVID cases is forcing temporary business closures, which likely pushed some affected workers to apply for jobless benefits, according to Bloomberg economist Eliza Winger, said in a note before the data was released. Quote, most businesses are open, albeit operating at a limited capacity. Perhaps, Eliza, it's a demand issue. Let's keep going. On an unadjusted basis, claims rose to 419,446 last week. Now, let's qualify that number a bit because the headline number said 230. Well, the government does something called seasonally adjust numbers. It smooths out the ebbs and flows of the numbers. But on a non-seasonally adjusted, well, that number was big, that 419,000, the highest since May. California, New York, and Texas led states with the biggest increases in unadjusted claims. And here we can see that initial jobless claims on seasonally adjusted in blue and non-seasonally adjusted red suggest that with the non-seasonally adjusted number shooting higher, well, that the official number is coming up in the next couple of weeks. And here you can see the total claims of all benefits right now is at very low levels. You see, notice the pandemic claims, which were in blue and green, are all gone. And that indeed is headed higher as those claims wish to see now heading higher. Let's head over to the Wall Street Journal to see if they can get this story right, to see if they see it as a demand issue. Don't hold your breath. The U.S. jobless claims rise 230,000 as a tight labor market keeps applications near pre-pandemic lows. I don't see any reason why we're going to see layoffs go up because businesses keep reporting labor shortages and difficulty hiring, said Rebella Faruqi, the chief U.S. economist of High Frequency Economics. Quote, they're going to see some temporary disruption from the surge in cases, but we're going to revert back to that downtrend that we're seeing. Well, Rubella, perhaps it is a demand issue. Because if we're having trouble retaining employees, why would people lay them off? Well, let's keep going. The tight labor market has left businesses short of enough workers as consumer demand has been high. Workers are staying on the sidelines of the labor market and quitting jobs at record levels. Well, if they're quitting at record levels, I can assure you, they're not getting on unemployment benefits because you don't get unemployment benefits from quitting. You get it from being laid off. That's a big difference. Putting pressure on employers to raise wages and enhance benefits to attract workers. Price wage momentum has already started. Wages have to go up. Now, for those of you who missed yesterday's show, we talked about how the policymakers are blaming higher wages on inflation. In fact, if you missed it, be sure to tune in after this show. Let's keep going because otherwise you can't keep your workers. And when you raise your wages, sooner or later, you have to raise prices, said Soon-Wong Soon, professor of finance and economics at Loyola Marymount University in Los Angeles. And here you can see the National Federation of Independent Businesses, their Small Business Optimism Index shows that compensation is likely to surge. So if you work in a small business, this is good news. Your wage is likely to head up as they're going to raise wages. But and they cite in the same survey that inflation is the single most problem. Now, if you understand this from a small business perspective, they're forced to raise wages. And when they raise wages, they have to raise prices. And when you raise prices, guess what happens to demand? It goes down. And now all of a sudden, you're stuck because people that get a pay raise, you know what they don't like? That's right. Pay cut. Let's keep going, because the share affirmed expecting the economy to improve in the same report. Well, it was near record low levels. In fact, if we go back, you see the last time it was in at this low levels, we had a recession. And then 94, there was a soft recession. Then we had the dot-com bubble. Then we had a great financial crisis. Then we almost had a double dip recession. Then we almost had a recession in 2016. And now everyone says there's no recession on the horizon, but small businesses are saying, yeah, we see one coming. And let's go back to the Wall Street Journal now, because the economy's fate might hinge on the question of full employment. In fact, if you're concerned at all about what this means in terms of heading into recession and how that will affect your portfolio, well, you shouldn't be. Check out Portfolio Shield. All right, let's get back to this Wall Street Journal article. How some see low unemployment, high inflation as signs the job market is healthy as it can get. Aha! Perhaps we are at peak employment. Full employment refers to the state in which anyone who wants a job can get one without wages and prices rising out of control. It is ideal of a healthy, steadily growing economy. And I said, we are at full employment, but not many people believe it. But here we see the job openings, according to the total non-farm, based on the government data, says we have 10.5 million job openings, which is huge. And by that measure, the U.S. is already there. In December, the unemployment rate fell to 3.9%, down from 6.7% a year earlier, according to the Labor Department last week, which we covered. Meanwhile, employers added just 199,000 jobs last month, less than half the average monthly gain for all of 2021. And hourly wages rose at 4.7% in December from a year earlier, far higher than the 2.9% gain in 2019, validating that indeed employers must raise wages. And workers are quitting at the highest rate on record, often for higher pay. Well, it doesn't make a lot of sense if there's only 199,000 jobs created and all these people leaving for higher wages. Why aren't we seeing bigger numbers? Doesn't add up, but let's keep going. On the surface, that suggests there simply aren't that many workers left to hire. Well, the JOLTS survey says that's not true. Oh, well, it says there are also a lot of workers. There are a lot of job openings. Let's see if we can find out where these workers went and if that recovery has run its course. With inflation at near 40-year high of 7% in December, conditions seem to meet the textbook definition of full employment. Aha! I love it. And here you see the labor force participation rate, something that we talked about, and it's at 61.9%. And before, it was over 63. Where are all these people? That is the question. Where did they go? Of course, Wall Street Journal's got that. The debate hinges largely on the size of the labor force, which was 1.4% smaller, or 2.9 million people in December. And 2.9 is a big number than before the pandemic. Are all those people gone for good? Or will some of them come off the sidelines and apply for one of the many job openings? And see, that's what the question is here, because when you understand how this works, higher wages entice people to come off the sidelines and look for work. And the labor force participation should be rising, not just signifying that people are working, but signifying that people are re-entering the workforce and looking for work. And those higher wages aren't bringing them back. That's the question. Where did they go? And are they coming back? Or perhaps we're really at full employment. Although August, roughly 2.4 million workers retired early because of the pandemic, according to research from the Federal Reserve Bank of St. Louis, most are unlikely to return. Well, until the stock market goes down, that's probably true. If he is right, then labor supply would remain tight. The unemployment rate would continue to fall, and rising wages would pressure inflation as companies compete for workers by boosting pay. And this sounds well and good until you factor the question is demand going to go away? And what was driving that demand? Well, let's keep going. Because if the Fed prematurely determines that the economy is at full employment and moves too quickly to raise rates, which we can largely expect they will, quote, the big risk is there's potentially could be millions of people who want a job, even though we don't see that now, and won't be able to get it because higher interest rates will choke off the recovery, Mr. Bunker said. And that indeed is a little out of order here, because this is the previous paragraph is Nick Bunker, the head of research at the job site Indeed.com, points to another metric suggesting the labor market recovery still has room on the runway. The prime age employment to population ratio, the percentage of Americans aged 25 to 54 who are employed, was just 79% on December, 1.5 percentage points below where it was in February 2020. Since anyone in this group that left employment is probably too young to retire, they're more likely to return. And in fact, I think Mr. Bunker may be on top of this, because if the Fed does what the Fed's going to do, Well, they're going to choke off the recovery. And my friends, that's what's called a recession. So the issue here is everyone sees it as a supply problem. And really, it's a demand problem. Because where has all the demand come from since March of 2020? I want you to go back and think about for a moment, where did it come from? It came from fiscal stimulus. And what now is completely gone? We have a fiscally led recovery that is now over. And everyone thinks this is just the beginning. But if these initial increases in unemployment claims are right, well, more are to come. And that's going to put us in a recession as the Fed starts to fight inflation. I'm Steve Van Meter. Thanks for joining me, and we'll see you back soon. The content of this video provides educational information only. It's not intended by investor or other advice. It should not be construed as a recommendation or solicitation by our security, financial instrument, or participate in any particular trading strategy. This video was paid by Steve Van Meter, personal capacity. Business expressed this video that do not reflect the view of Atlas Fund Advisors, Inc., or Steve Van Meter Financial.